It's a blessing to be with you here this morning to worship God. It's a blessing we take for granted so many times until we would not have that privilege. And I just thank God that we have that privilege. We still live in a land of freedom, that we can gather together to worship Him. May our hearts be full of what God has done for us. I was blessed with the Sunday school. I had this verse that keeps going through my mind. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, brethren, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. We can win. There is an entire force, evil force, that we know nothing about, that is happening all the time, that is trying to take us down, but you can be faithful. Everyone here this morning can be faithful because we serve a powerful God. We serve a sovereign God, one that has control of this world. That gives me a lot of confidence this morning that no matter what is happening, God is sovereign. And as we studied this book of Daniel, about five Sunday schools ago, our teacher said, because God is sovereign, what does that mean to you this morning? And it had just struck me in a new way. Because God is sovereign, I can relax because I don't have to be in control. God is. So many times, brethren, we get all worked up about what's happening. We don't have to this morning because God is sovereign. So I just want to challenge us with that little thought that we can relax. We can trust God because God is sovereign. That is a character trait of God. And this morning I want to look at another character trait of God that we don't often think about. If I were to open it up, and I will, give me some character traits of God. When you think of God, what is your thought this morning about God? I've already given you one, that He's sovereign. He's all-powerful. What's some more?
Omniscient.
He's omniscient.
Holy.
Holy.
Faithful.
He's faithful.
True.
He's true.
All-powerful.
All-powerful.
Loving.
We could just keep going and going this morning, couldn't we? Because God is just, He means so much to us. And I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what you faced this past week. But there's a character trait of God that I'm sure was very special to you. Because of what God is, He saw you through. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. And I would like to read this. A character of God that I don't think about very often. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. It says this, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." Now, I don't think of a character trait of jealousy as a character trait of God. But I found this study interesting because God is jealous. God is a jealous God. He is jealous for His people. He is jealous for you this morning. He wants you. And that is my theme this morning. God is jealous for your love. God is jealous for your attention. God wants everything from you this morning. He doesn't want to share you with any other being. No other force. Because God is God and He is jealous for you this morning. We will come back to that verse. But it's a character trait that I want to look at this morning. You know, we tend to think of God as a creator. And recently we had, well, it's been a few months now, we had our district gathering together and we had, our theme was on the creation of God. And God is such a marvelous God. The creation of basically the heavens and the stars and the universe. Why did God put all the star beauties out there? Why did God put planets? Why did God put nebulas and star clusters and galaxies, and you can't see them anyhow? Did you walk out this morning, it was cloudy, did you walk out like three nights ago, the stars were just brilliant, you looked up there at the sky and you're like, wow, what a marvelous God. I think God did that because He is jealous for your attention. And He wants you to look up to the stars, and the next clear night I want you to walk out there and look up at the heavens and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the great creator that you are. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for all the mysteries that you have put out there. You know, the more you study into the space, the stars, the planets, it's just beautiful. And God, I believe he did it for attention. He wants us to think about him. Let's get back to the jealousy of God this morning. We think of jealousy, we kind of think of someone that is self-centered. If I said Tim is jealous this morning, you'd all be like, jealous of what? And you know, as mankind, we associate jealousy as something that we want to stay away from. It's something that God frowns upon. It's because we live in a sinful state. We all have come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. And so we can't have a jealousy like God can. We do great, marvelous things, and I don't care how great you are, I don't care how great your achievements are, you cannot become jealous of the honor and the glory that you receive for it. But God can. God is this great creator. He has done everything. He has made you. And he has a right to be jealous over your life. He created you. He protects you. And in return, he is jealous for your love and your attention. This word jealous, whose name is jealous, he is a jealous God, comes from a Greek word, zealous, or zeal. It literally means hot enough to boil. I guess the closest we can understand that is when we get upset and we get mad. We say, wow, he's boiling mad or something like that. You know, he's just really hot. But God gets really hot when his people do not give him the honor and the glory that he is expecting from them. It's a little bit like, brethren, if your wife would give her love and loyalty to someone else. And you would begin, I don't even know how to understand that, but I think I would start to get a little hot under the collar. And more than just a little hot. Wives, if your man was given his love and his loyalty to another woman, you would get upset. That's just a little picture of what God experiences when his people give their love and their loyalty to another person. Turn with me. We're going to look at some verses about the jealousy of God. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. That word, that God is jealous. He wants your worship this morning. This is Old Testament. We will bring it up through. But God says, if you go out here and you worship another God, I am a jealous God. Don't do it. Because you are going to experience something, you're going to experience a wrath from me. He says, I am a consuming fire. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 5. 5 verse 8. Just one page over. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For I, thy Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children upon the third and fourth. And it goes on. The point is I am a jealous God, God says. I want your love. I want your attention. And he's talking to his chosen people. And when God sees his people, the Old Testament was the children of Israel. When God seen the children of Israel going out and serving other gods, it made him upset. And he would bring judgment into their life. Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and shalt serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name. Verse 15, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. And there's verses after verses that go on to talk about God is a jealous God. God is jealous for your love and for your attention and for your loyalty this morning. In the same chapter, turn with me to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Are you worshiping God this morning with all your heart? With all your heart? Or are you only here by a quarter of your, you just wish you were somewhere else, but trust not. God wants our worship this morning. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your 100%. It's a little bit like if I were to write a love note to my wife and I were to sign it, I love you with all my heart. That means she's got my 100% loyalty. All of me. It's all my heart. We use that phrase. I love you with all my heart. If you were to give your wife, or husband a special note and say, I love you with all my heart, that means you're totally dedicated 100% to him. This morning, we are here to worship God with all our heart. Because God sees it. God knows exactly what you're thinking and what you're feeling this morning. And God is a God of worship. And he wants you this morning to worship him. I love you with all my heart. Not God and something else. Not being here because you're forced to. You're here because you want to be here. You're here because you want to worship God this morning. You're here because you want to give God the first place in your life. Turn with me to Numbers 25. Here we have when Israel tried to serve God and serve something else. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baalpor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. It made God furious. He says, I am jealous of you. I want your love and attention. And what do? The people that God has done so much for, they go serve the gods of this world. They bowed down to Baalpor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. It made God mad. He can't handle that when someone else receives your worship. In verse 10, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. And if we had read the rest of those verses, God said, you're going to be destroyed, kill them, get them out of here. I can't handle people that won't give me honor and praise. And this man went out and slew those people that were serving Baalpor. And God's wrath was stayed from the rest of the people. 1 Kings 14 is another story. 1 Kings 14, verse 22. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And it went on. And again, it's the story just gets repeated over and over. That God says, I am a jealous God. I want your love and attention. I am your God. I am your sovereign God. And the people say, but we're going to go out and worship another God. And it would drive Jesus to jealousy, to God to jealousy. He wants all of our attention. He wants all of our worship, not just a little bit. And so how about you today? Do we have idols? Do we go out and sit on a green hill? Of course not. But we do have idols. We have things in our life that take our attention and our love away from God. Turn with me to James 4. Very familiar verses in James 4. Here it says that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. So maybe we're not tempted. We're not tempted to go out here and set up an idol in front of ourselves. But we are tempted to be friends of the world. We live in a fallen world, a sinful world, a world full of allurements. A world that is beckoning and saying, come play with us. Come do all the fun things. Stop trying to live such a boring life. James 4, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?
Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask not, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That's pretty clear and plain, isn't it? Are you a friend of the world? Is God looking into your life and his jealousy is being provoked because there's something else taking your love and taking your loyalty from your worship from him? Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? God wants your love and attention. I want to say that enough of times that you don't forget it. God wants you. God wants all of you. He wants your worship this morning. And yet, there's another force out there that also wants your love and your worship. Let's go back to this verse in Exodus 34, the one we started with. It says that God is a jealous God. His name is jealous. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And I'd like just to look at the context of this verse a little bit and think about where the children of Israel were at this time. What had just happened prior to this? Well, we know the story, how that the children of Israel were on their wandering wilderness journey. And back in chapter 32, that Moses went up onto the mountain to meet with God. We have God doing all the wonderful things for the people, how he had worked with his chosen people, how he took them out of Egypt, how those people had cried and cried and asked for deliverance, and God moved in a miraculous way, brought them right up to the Red Sea and parted the waters, and they went across. What a marvelous God. Those people saw that. They experienced it. They experienced seeing water being brought out of a rock, being thirsty, and how God worked a miracle, and Moses smote that rock and water gushed out. They experienced God providing for their physical needs, for their hunger, for providing manna. They were hungry. They didn't have any food, and God would give them food. God would provide what they needed. They experienced God speaking with them personally. They experienced that beautiful relationship that God wants to have with his people. Did that draw them closer to God? Did that make them more appreciative of what God had done for them? Well, for a little bit, I believe it did. But we go on with their history lesson, and we know that Moses went up onto the mountain to talk to God. And the people said, I don't know what became of Moses. We don't know where Moses got to. And you know what they did? They began to worship a calf. They began to take their jewelry off, and they formed this calf, and they began to dance around that calf, and they said, here are the gods which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. In direct disobedience for what God had commanded them. God had clearly told them, thou shalt worship no other God. In our theme verse, Exodus 34:14, thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And God was looking down on those people, and he saw them dancing around that calf. He saw their praise and he saw their worship to an unknown God. And he began to become jealous. He said, that is my people. I have done everything for them, and they were refusing to love me in return. 32 verse 7. We have God speaking to Moses. The Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down from thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt. They have corrupted themselves. And in that verse, he says, before they were always my people, they were God's chosen people. In this verse, The Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down for thy people. They weren't God's people anymore. He said, Moses, they're your people. They're those rebels. And we know the story, how God brought judgment. They were going to be consumed by God's jealousy. He loved them so much, and yet in return, they went out and served the gods that were around them. The Lord is a jealous God. And the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Again, do we have gods in our life? Satan is just as strong today, working in the world around us, wanting our love, wanting our loyalty. I suppose we could say that Satan is jealous for you too. He also wants love, and he also wants your worship. And so we have that friction. But we know who is going to be sovereign. Satan wants our worship. Don't forget that. He doesn't care this morning if you worship self. Not at all. Satan just wants your worship. He doesn't care if you have a friendship with the world. He doesn't care if you have pleasures in this world. He doesn't care if you love the power and prestige that comes along with being a part of this world system. All he wants is your love and your loyalty. But he does not want you to worship God. There's a conflict. Who's going to win this morning? Of course, we know who we want to serve. We want to serve God. We want to give him our love and our loyalty this morning. That conflict went right up through the ages. And we have Jesus being tempted when he was on this earth. And he was in the wilderness. And of course, what Satan say to him? Fall down and worship me, and I'll give you everything. Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, for thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, God made us to worship. And we are here to worship God this morning. That's why we're gathered together. I know we are. Worship is that adoration to a supreme person. Are you worshiping God this morning? God is jealous of your worship. He wants you to worship. And our tendency is to allow the things of this world to detract from our worship. But I want to just focus now on worship. Worshiping God. Because that's what God wants. He is jealous for your worship. He made us beings that worship. God is jealous of it. I have several points here that I'd like to think about as we worship God. Number one is our heart is full of praise. Amen. Our heart is full of praise all the time for what God has done. We are so blessed. What are you doing about it? Are you telling other people? Are you going about with a song on your lips? I do construction, and you get around people, and it's fun to watch people. I just love to watch people's expressions and how they relate to life. And I do some work occasionally for some God-fearing people. And this one lady in particular loves to sing. And it didn't matter if I was there working in her kitchen, she was singing. Now, a lot of us are bashful and we don't like to sing when other people are around, but this lady didn't care. She was worshiping God. She had a song on her lips and she was going to sing. And it's a tremendous testimony, brothers, when you can sing. Even if you can't carry a tune, but sing anyhow. Sing praises to God. It's such stark contrast to the world that we live in, where they jam on the radio and they turn up the music, work to the beat. That's what keeps them moving. Well, this morning we have something better that motivates us. It's a love and a heart full of praise. God sees it. God loves it. He's a jealous God, and he is looking for that response out of your life, a response of worship, a response of just praise just welling up in our hearts. Spontaneous singing. Let's sing a verse of blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Do you know that our songs is a way to praise God? Did you think about the words of that song as you were singing, that you want to praise God all the day long? God wants your worship this morning. I'm going to turn to several psalms. Psalm 33. Psalms are just full of praise and worship. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for the praise is commonly to the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. And it just goes on for praising the Lord for who he is and what he has done. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We could keep going through that whole psalm. Just such a psalm of praise and worship for what God has done. Psalm 47. Clap your hands, O you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Again, psalm of praise for who God is. Psalm 95 is a very powerful psalm. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And I trust this morning that he is your God. I know he is. That you are worshiping him. Not just this morning, but every day as you go forth into Monday and Tuesday. That your heart is welling up in praise. Does God see it? Does he love it? Absolutely. That's what God wants from his people. A heart of praise. Number two, God wants a heart of loyalty and faithfulness. You know, the children of Israel did. They were his chosen people. They had all the right things going from them, but they were not faithful. And God brought judgment. God despises that. God wants faithfulness with your praise and worship. He is jealous for your heart, for your love, for your loyalty. A heart of love and faithfulness. We've been studying Daniel. Such a blessing to study Daniel. A man that will stand firm, stand true, away from home. A young man, taken from his home when he was just a tender age. And he said, I'm going to follow God no matter what the cost. And as we've been studying his journey, we knew how that, well, I don't know which one to go to. Take the Daniel in the lion's den. He got, as soon as he knew that the letter was signed, he fell down on his knees and he prayed like the old times. He wasn't going to compromise. He had a love and a faithfulness to God. Did God see it? Absolutely he did. It made God excited because he said, Daniel, beloved, you're a man that will serve me no matter what. And right then, Daniel couldn't see it, but God used Daniel to speak to the multitudes. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood for right no matter what the cost. They had a heart of loyalty and faithfulness. The Old Testament commands were no other gods before thee. And they weren't going to bow down and worship a big iron god.
all they could have kneeled and said, well, we're going to pray to God in our heart. That's compromise. They had a heart of loyalty and faithfulness, and God loved it. God blessed them for it, and they went through tremendous suffering. They had to go through the fiery furnace. They had to go through pain, but God took them through it, and they came out faithful. We serve that same God today. God wants a heart of loyalty and faithfulness in our worship. Yeah. Number three, we worship God by giving Him our best. We don't give God our leftovers. We don't give God just a little bit of ourselves and save the rest for us. We serve God with everything we have. We give Him our best. We could go into Malachi 1, verse 7. It says, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And it goes on. The children of Israel were bringing polluted bread, sick animals, and trying to offer. And God was not pleased. God wants our best. He doesn't want the leftovers. We need to give God our best. Point number four is we need to worship God by having time for Him. We need to take time to gather this morning. I know we do it because we were brought up to go to church on Sunday. But God wants our worship. He wants our undivided attention and loyalty. And we show that by having time to come to church. We show that by having time to go to prayer meeting and to gather together with the saints of God. Right. We take time to go to Sunday evening services whenever. And that really says something to God that says, I love you so much that I want to be there. I want to worship you. We have time to worship Him. We have time to read His word. We have time to pray. We have time to tell others. Thank you, brother. We get so busy, don't we? But when we are excited about what God has done, we will take time to tell others of what He has done for us. Yeah. Take time to sit and visit with a hurting soul. It takes time. It takes something out of our schedule. But I want to do it for God. God does not want your greatest achievements. God simply wants you to take time out for Him. So many times we want to give God all the great things that we can do. But God's not interested in the great things we do. He just wants us, He wants me, to take time to worship Him. Number five is God wants me to enthusiastically do His will. Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Just enthusiastically doing the will of God every day. Taking time to seek His face. Do you love serving the Lord this morning? Or is it a chore? Is it I trust it's not. We enjoy serving the Lord. I would just like to look yet at two Bible examples of men that worshiped in adversity. It's so easy to worship God when everything's going right. It's easy to worship God when He's blessing you and life's just great and glorious. But it was said this morning in Sunday school that often I believe our greatest praise comes from a time of adversity. And I would like to look at the man Abraham in Genesis 22. And we're thinking specifically of worship and how Abram loved to worship God. We have God coming to him in Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And we know this story. But Abraham didn't know this story. He just knew that God was calling him to sacrifice his son. We cannot comprehend this.
The very son that you prayed for and longed for, your entire life is wrapped up around your son. Fathers, you understand the love for your child and your son, especially your firstborn. You spend time with them and you coach them and you give them all your attention. And now we have God saying, Abraham, I want you to offer up your son. Your only son. Did you notice that? It's just kind of like he reminded him. I think that would have went through your heart like a dart. Lord, he's my only son. I don't have more of them. I only have one. And he says, offer your son, your only son.
What a test. What would you do? This God that wants your love and your loyalty and your affection, and he's asking this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he went, and he took his son, and he began to do what God asked him to do. What love for God. This was a test that God had given to him. And they went, and on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. In the middle of this great sacrifice, this heartbreaking offer your son, so unfair. I don't know what his thoughts were going through his mind. We know that he trusted God, but he worshiped. And the adversity of life, whatever God would put into your path this week, worship. Get down on your knees and worship God. Because he is still that great, wonderful God. It's amazing. Abraham worshiped. Let's go to Job. Job was another man that experienced great adversity. Job chapter 1. We know this man was the richest man around, and we know that God loved this man. He was a tremendous man of faith and trust in God. I believe God was jealous for Job's attention and loyalty. And Satan was too. And he said, you know the story how Satan came and said, God, he only loves you because you're blessing him and all this stuff. And so he said, let's put a test to him. And so we have this great man of God, Job. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plying, the asses feeding sheep beside them. And the Sabaeans fell on them, and it took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only I. What a blow. You have your huge trucking business, and half the trucks disappeared. I mean, we kind of don't understand this, but the sheep and the oxen, they were all gone. Quarter of the business just wiped off. And while he's yet speaking, we have another man coming in and saying, the fire fell from heaven. Must have been a tremendous lightning strike and killed all the sheep. And now I'm at 50%. I didn't do the figures, but you know, your business is just taking a hit, a traumatic hit. And then while he's still speaking, the Chaldeans carried off the camels. My oxen's gone, my sheep's gone, my camel's gone. And while he's still speaking, another man comes in and says, the wind arose, and there must have been a terrible tornado. And the house where your family and your children in were knocked over, and they all perished. And I am the only one escaped to tell thee. And in a matter of 20 minutes, you go from being the richest man on this earth to nothing. What would you do? Is God still sovereign? Is God still great? Is God still this magnificent person that we get all cozy feelings about when he allows everything that I've ever accomplished in life to go to nothing? What did Job do? In verse 20, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped. What would you do? Mankind would go to the bottle and begin to drink themselves silly. They have nothing more to live for. We would say we're depressed. We're just depressed beyond measure, and we need all kinds of help. Not Job.
He went right back to the man that had given him everything, back to the wonderful God that he served, and he worshiped. And I don't know what that prayer was. I don't even know if Job could sing, but he worshiped. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My name is Jealous. God is jealous for you this morning. It's that same God that's with the children of Israel, the same God that was the God of Job. The same God goes up through history, and today he is our God. And today he is just as jealous of you. He's jealous of your attention, of your loyalty, of your love and your affection. Are you giving it to God? God wants your worship. And so this morning, I trust that we continue to worship God today and the rest of our lives. Let us kneel for a word of prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we just bow before you this morning, just thanking you that you are the marvelous God. Father, we just thank you for your love to mankind, or to your love to us as sinners. Father, in return, may our hearts well up in praise and gratitude and loyalty and love for you. Father, help us to love you with our whole heart, not hankering after the sins of this world, but giving our love and our loyalty to you. And Father, I just pray for each person here this morning that they would find you in a real way. Father, I just pray for this congregation as they love and serve you, that they could go forth in this community being a bright light, and that others could find you before it's eternally too late. Father, just go with us. Continue to guide and direct. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.